This morning, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, we want to look at the last portion of this chapter, the interpretation of the events that John saw in the first portion of the chapter, where he saw religious Babylon. And so I'd like to read beginning at verse 8 through the end of the chapter this morning. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth on the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this morning and help us understand as we look at this book of Revelation, and actually we can begin to see some of these things transpiring in the day in which we live. And every day we live, it seems like headlines come out which make your word even more real. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds and ears that we may hear and understand. And Lord, may your Spirit be our guide and teacher and help us to understand the truths that you would have for us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked a little bit at the Roman Catholic Church last Sunday morning and the fact that really, if you look at all of the religious systems in the world today, and I'm talking about religious systems and not talking about true Bible-believing Christians, the Roman Church is really the only one which fits the woman who would ride the beast. And the world religious system that would control kings and control men. Some of the things we looked at last week were some of the false teachings entered into the church, and really Satan uses it as a means by which to deceive people into believing they are following Jesus when they're following a different system. If they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if they belong to that church or any church. You're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. He is the only means of salvation. He is the only means by which our sins are forgiven. And the false teachings of Rome, as we saw last week, really integrated many of the teachings that could go back all the way to the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel has been present in false religious systems throughout the history of the world, as Satan has used that model to deceive people into thinking they're number one religious, Number two, that somehow they're earning favor with the God that they're serving. And number two, that somehow they can pay or make restitution for the sins they've committed. It's led to some horrible, horrible practices in various religious systems around the world. And it's one of the reasons that when the Lord brought the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan, He drove out the Canaanites. Much of the worship that they were doing was remnants of Babel, and it involved all kinds of despicable things. And we're not going to dwell on those this morning, but we're going to be looking at what is the relationship between the beast and this whore, this religious whore that the scriptures are speaking of. First of all, the beast that he's speaking of here, and that was and is yet to come, that beast is the Antichrist, and then the spirit of the Antichrist has always been in the world because it's a spirit of rebellion against God. And it's a total rebellious spirit. There's no desire to come into fellowship with God. There's no desire to yield to God's authority. There's no desire to obey God's command. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. And where did that spirit begin? It began all the way back at the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve. He introduced that spirit to Adam when he said, "You can be God. You don't have to obey God," because this was the crux of his message. "I know what's better for you. You know, there's a reason God doesn't want you to eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, because He knows that you'll be like Him." And Satan lied and deceived. And Adam and Eve, and brought to them death. And just like he's continually bringing death to the world ever since. Well, his religious systems really are the mark of death. And they are tied up really with the whole intent and purpose of arranged by Satan to get the world to turn from worshiping Jesus and worshiping the true God to ultimately worshiping Him and walk in rebellion against God. Well, what is this whore that rides the beast? It's interesting. I was reading an article about a man who'd gone to the Vatican to tour it. And they have if you've never seen pictures of the Vatican, one of the things that the St. Peter's Cathedral and the Vatican have is lots of money. And they have lots of gold. And they have lots of jewels. And they have lots of precious things. On their hallways, in some of their hallways, they had these big wall hangings. And these wall hangings are worth thousands and thousands of dollars. They're very proud of this one wall hanging, and they introduced this man and showed him it, and they said, "This is the Catholic Church." You know what the wall hanging was? It was a woman, all dressed in beautiful garments, riding this beast. And their interpretation was a little different than Romans chapter 17. They said, the woman is the Catholic Church, the beast is the world, and the Catholic Church has been placed here to control it. And this man's going, "Wow, my Bible says the woman's being controlled by the beast, and these are things that are going to come about in the last days." Well, one of the things that you see as we look at this, and as the angel interprets this beast and this whore who's riding it for Daniel, I have you turn to verse 15. And he says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Now, what is the implication of that verse and the other things that we saw here? This religious whore has great control over the whole world. if there's one religious system today that has control over the whole world, I can tell you it's not the Hindus. It's not the Islamic Muslims, even though they want us to believe that. It's not the Native Americans and their religious system in America. It's the Roman Catholic Church. There's some interesting things that have been done by the Roman Catholic Church that were instituted and were reinforced by our government. During the Second World War, under the leadership of Mussolini, the Roman Catholic Church was given their own territory in Rome and made an independent state, totally separate from Italy. They're no longer a part of Italy. They are their own country. And they don't answer to Italy, even though they're located in Italy. Under Ronald Reagan, our nation did what other nations had already done. Being that they were now a nation state, what do you do with nation states? You send ambassadors to the nation states. And all the nations of the world had ambassadors going to the Vatican. The United States didn't have an ambassador going to the Vatican, but under Ronald Reagan, he initiated the steps so that the U.S. now has an ambassador at the Vatican. Our current ambassador is Newt Gingrich. I don't know if Biden has removed him or not, but he was the ambassador to the Vatican. And why would you have an ambassador to a religious system? Nations of the world don't go to the president of the Southern Baptist Conference and ask him for his opinion in decisions they make. They don't go to the head of the Lutheran Church of America, or the ELCA, and ask him. They don't go to India, and first of all, they have a hard time finding him in India, who the head of the Hindu church would be, because there's over 3,000 gods and they're growing every day. So it's kind of hard to figure out who's the head of the organization. But they don't go there to find out answers. But guess where they go? They go to the Vatican. They go and they seek to have a council with the Pope. And they want to have the Pope's influence and the Pope's input into what they should do on various issues. One of the problems when we had Mike Pompeo as our Secretary of State, he was instructed that he had to go to the Vatican, but he said, I don't think the Pope liked my visit. And he never was asked to come back because he didn't acknowledge the Pope as he was to be acknowledged, as really the Vicar of Christ. And Mike Pompeo is a Bible-believing Christian, by the way. But the Bible says that in the last days there's going to be this world religious system that's going to unite with this antichrist beast spirit that's going to come into the world. I want to give you some interesting things that are happening in the Roman Catholic Church today that haven't ever. First of all, the current pope is the first Jesuit pope that there's ever been. What is the significance of that? If you go back and look at Catholic history and would study Catholic history, you'd understand that the Jesuits came into being to counteract the Reformation. And they were established to destroy those people who believed in the Bible and became the main persecutors of Bible-believing Christians. Not only that, they have also had their own religious order within the religious system of the Roman Catholic Church. And many other orders in the Catholic Church do not trust the Jesuits because of their character and who they are. Now, I want to say there may be some people in the Roman Catholic Church that have believed in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Jesuits are the heart of the Roman Catholic Church. This Jesuit priest has done more to push the world towards a world order. One of the things it's interesting to listen to American Catholics, and especially if you've listened to, it seems like many of the broadcasters and conservative broadcasters are Roman Catholic. I remember hearing a man who's a Roman Catholic, who states he's a Roman Catholic, and he's a broadcaster and speaks out against all the things that are happening right now, and he says, this Pope is not my... He's pushing for a one-world government and a one-world monetary system. I want nothing to do with him. And he hit that nail right on the head. Pope Francis has been pushing for a one-world government. He's in favor of it. He's pushing for a one-world monetary system. He's in favor of what is referred to as the reset, which the scriptures talk about will be coming about, where there will be a new world monetary system. There's going to be one monetary system for the world, and you'll have to have the mark of the controller of that system, the mark of the beast, as is referred to in Revelation, in order to buy or sell. And the things that we're seeing happen, even with the COVID, all this COVID that's going on right now, are really leading up to that point where you can have total control by a governmental system that's headed up initially by a number of individuals, but ultimately will be by, is referred to as, the beast. Well, the horror of Babylon, and as we talked last Sunday, Satan moved his headquarters from Babylon to Pergamos to Rome. The scriptures tell us that this whore is found, and in verse 9 it says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads of the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Rome is called the city of the seven hills, or the city of the seven mountains. It's where it's located. Most Bible scholars believe that the revised Roman Empire is going to be the means by which the Antichrist shall come, and that the Roman Catholic Church, currently seated in Rome, will be the religious arm of that, and the false prophet will come out of that system. There are some other Bible believers or Bible teachers that would teach that Babylon, the city of Babylon, is going to be reconstructed, and that everything will be moved to there. I don't know, it could happen. But that's not the point. The point is, we see everything happening right now before us. Everything's being put in place for it to happen, just as the scripture said. Then he says in verse 16, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now, who were the ten horns? When we studied that earlier in the book of Revelation, remember, they were ten kings of regions of the earth. Again, if you want to study and see what those that want to control this planet have in store for us, they say that the world needs to be divided into ten regions. And they've already got a map. You can Google it. I'm sure you can find it. The map of the ten regions of the earth that would be divided into, the ten kingdoms that they want to establish. And there'd be a king or a ruler of each of these. And these people would have control over that kingdom, but ultimately there would arise this 11th, this little horn that we saw, that would defeat three of these ten, that would rise in rebellion against him, and he would control the whole system. The Bible speaks of the fact that that is the Antichrist, and that he is coming. The Lord could tarry. The Lord could be merciful. There could be revival. There could be a change tomorrow. But everything is pointing to the fact that if things are going the way they are, the Antichrist is alive today. And he is, I don't know who he is, but he's alive. I don't know if Pope Francis is the false prophet, but I know that someone like Pope Francis is going to be the false prophet. What are the marks of this man, the false prophet, the one who directs the whore of Babylon? They want to bring all world religions under their system so that there would be one world religion, and then they would ultimately worship the beast, and it would be pointed towards the Antichrist that their worship should go to. We talked before last Sunday about how that there are Jewish people already looking for a man to be their deliverer. The scriptures tell us that they're going to be deceived at the first, and they're going to look at the wrong man. Instead of looking for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who had been promised by their prophets, that had been given to them in what we call the Old Testament, but it's the prophetic word of God given both to the Jews and the Gentiles, of where the deliverer would come, it's not the man there. They're looking for a man to come out of this world system, a man who will come out of this world system and control the political aspects of it, the religious aspects of it, and be able to give them the autonomy and the freedom that they seek. The problem is, when you look for something to come out of this system, it'll only ultimately lead to death. And it's going to lead to greater persecution on the Jewish people than they've ever seen in the history of the world, because they're looking in the wrong place. And their ultimate deliverer will be the man that they refer to. They call him the man. And they say, we want nothing to do with the man. And when they say they want nothing to do with the man, that's Jesus Christ. When their rabbis say, we don't speak of the man, they don't speak of Jesus Christ. And that's why they will not, most rabbis will not study or teach or look at Isaiah chapter 53. Because it is so evident, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He did come. He suffered stripes that we could be healed. He was put to death for our transgressions. And he rose again from the dead. And Isaiah 53 and other passages out of the Old Testament point to Jesus, but they deny Jesus, and instead they're looking for a man to come out of this political arena in this world. The Antichrist is going to have the false prophet, and he's going to be, as we saw earlier in chapter 17, illuminating the beast or the false prophet, encouraging people to look to him and trust in him. Now he says, thou sawest the beast and these that hate the whore. This political system is going to really hate the religious arm that has been created to uplift it, because they feel they don't need it. And one of the things that you will see, even though the Roman Catholic Church, when you examine their doctrine, it is anti-Christian. In a sense, it does not exalt Jesus, but it's Jesus and. And whenever you have that, it's a different gospel, it's a different message, and ultimately it's a different Jesus. So it is anti-Christian in and of itself. But what these men see in that is it's something that's relying upon God, and the only God they want to rely on is man. And I want you to understand what the world is being prepared for today. The world is being prepared for the ultimate man. What did Hitler want when he established he was trying to establish the 1,000 years of Aryan rule? He was trying to establish a superman. What are these people trying to do that are, if you read some of the things that they're doing with computers, with genetic engineering of humans, trying to tie our brains into computers, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make a superman. They're trying to make a man that is better than what God could have made. And whenever you have a religious system that still relies upon a God, you may have people. There are people that get saved in the Catholic Church because they read the Catholic Bible. There's people that get saved in the Catholic Church because they hear about the gospel message, even though it's being smothered by false dogma and doctrine in the Catholic Church. Do you realize that when these powers come to be, they don't want any of that. They don't want any chance of anybody ever looking back to God. They want them to look to man as the ultimate authority. I remember back when I was in college and studying psychology, there's one of the founders in what they call the kingpins of psychology was Maslow, Abraham Maslow. Maslow had his hierarchy of needs, and many psychologists today have built their whole foundation on the hierarchy of needs. You know what the number one, that you go up this pyramid of hierarchy of needs, and it starts out with the base things that you need to survive, but the ultimate hierarchy of needs, the ultimate thing that every person should seek is self-actualization. You know what he meant by self-actualization? You realize you're God. You realize that you've got the abilities of a God. That was his concept of self-actualization. Directly opposite of what the Scriptures teach us. We are created in the image of God, but we will never be God. We're always going to be a created being. Satan was created by God, but no matter how much he wants to deny it, he will never be a God or the God because he was a created being. He was created by the eternal God. Well, men today don't want to acknowledge some of these men. These are really wicked men. And some of them really have sold their soul to Satan for power, for money, for position. And they really view themselves that some of these billionaires really think they have the right to determine who should live and die. They have the right to determine who is worthy to do certain things and who's not worthy to do certain things. They have the right to determine who should go certain places and who should not go certain places. That's being God. And they don't want anything to do with it. So what they're going to do, they're going to use this woman who's riding the beast, think that she's controlling the beast. And there's coming a day where they're going to cast her off because they don't want her anymore. But I want you to understand what this beast has done throughout history. I mean, this woman who rides the beast has done throughout history. It says here that this woman, in verse 18, this woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. One of the reasons they're going to cast her off is to gain her wealth and to get her wealth. I don't know if you know how wealthy the Roman Catholic Church is, because they always want to make it sound like they don't have any money. And they'll put out these tear-jerking advertisements to send money for this cause or that. When Dave Hunt was alive, he traveled throughout Europe, and one of the places he stopped was a very, very poor village in Spain. This village was so poor, the people barely, they didn't have anything. But there was a Catholic cathedral in this little tiny village. And so he went to the Catholic cathedral and he went inside, and there was a little statue of Mary. The statue of Mary had a robe on it that had precious metals and precious stones all over the robe. She had a golden crown on her head in impregnated with precious stones and metals. he was talking to some of the people and they said, oh, the priest changes her outfit every day. There's a place in the cathedral where they stored all of her garments, all of her crowns, all of the jewels that would go on her. And every day they'd be placed upon her. Yet the people were being told, you need to pay more. You need to pay more. My wife read a book recently about a Catholic country in Southeast Europe where the priests would come and the people, again, were so poor. They were so poor. They wore cardboard for shoes. They were so poor. They didn't have proper clothes to wear. But the priest would come, and when he came, he would demand that they gave him the payments so that he would bless their town, and if he wouldn't, he could not bless them. And so you had these people who were so poor they couldn't even walk in shoes. And by the way, he would come, I don't know if he was wearing Armani's or not, but they were definitely leather and they were definitely expensive. They weren't cardboard and string. That's the history of the Catholic Church. What precipitated the Protestant Reformation was the fact that there were indulgences being sold because they wanted to build bigger cathedrals and have more stuff. And so the only way you could earn or gain salvation and forgiveness of sins is that when the priest came, you had to pay him and he would give you an indulgence that would say that you had so many years taken off of purgatory, but they couldn't tell you how many years you were going to be in purgatory. So this became a perpetual thing. It's a perpetual money-making operation. And there were priests like Martin Luther who began to read the Bible. And they say, I don't see that in God's Word. He reads in Romans and is convicted that everything the Roman church is doing is wrong. And so he wants to debate them. And so he puts his theses on the wall of Wittenberg to debate them. They didn't want to debate him. They wanted to kill him. If it wouldn't have been for a prince who was sympathetic to Martin Luther's views, Martin Luther would have been killed by those that the Vatican sent out. I want you to know that the Inquisition was started by the Jesuits, and it was to silence, because remember, at the beginning I said the Jesuits were started within the Catholic Church as an act of counter-reformation. And they went throughout Europe persecuting Bible-believing Christians and Jews. And either you said the Mass was correct and the doctrines of the Catholic Church were what you believed, or they would torture you and in most cases put you to death. This is the Whore of Babylon. This is her history. John Caesar, but even the Whore of Babylon can't find favor in the eyes of the Antichrist, and they throw her off in the last days. And religious Babylon will come crashing down. Now, this has been a bit of a history lesson, a bit of a church religious history lesson, and also a look into prophecy when it's talking about current days, because I wanted to tell you a couple things that you will constantly hear. You will see signs along the road that the Catholic Church has open arms for the separated brethren. Okay? They want to accept the separated brethren. And what they're referring to is separated brethren. They're trying to say we want all those Protestants. Now, if you're an Anabaptist, you're not a Protestant, because there's always been a group of Bible-believing Christians that go way back, and you can always trace them that were never involved in any state church. The Waldenses, the Albigenses, you had Christians in Asia, you had Christians in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. They weren't part of the state churches of Europe. The state churches of Europe were really the Reformation churches. That would be the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church. These churches were the state churches of Europe. And they had been under the control of the Roman Catholics, and they came out of the control from the Roman Catholics. But now they're going back under. As you see, the ELCA and some other large Lutheran organizations are doing joint ventures with Rome. Rome wants to bring everybody back under Rome. But I want to tell you today, they're no different than they've ever been. If you're a Bible-believing Christian and living in a certain state in Mexico, and I forget the name of the state, when the Pope visited that state, he encouraged the persecution of those Bible-believing Christians by the people. People there are, it's no different living in that state than if you lived in somewhere like India with the amount of persecution. Yet, it's a state that's controlled by the Roman Catholics. Roberta had an uncle who grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and he got saved out of Rome. And when he got saved, it's because they changed what it meant. They said that it was a mortal sin if you ate meat on Friday. And all of a sudden they changed their ruling on that, and it was no longer a mortal sin if you ate meat on Friday. So he said, if I've been eating meat on Friday all these years, it was a mortal sin, I was doomed to hell. But now all of a sudden it's no longer a mortal sin? He said, what else do they change? And they change a lot. They change whatever they need to change to gain power and authority. And like he said, so they can ride the beast. So they can ride the world government. So they can appease the world situation. So what is our response, and what do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to understand our hope isn't in a religious system. Our hope is in no world religious system, because that's what's going to be coming out. The next thing, big push you're going to see, I think, if you're a Christian, you need to accept the fact that you need to worship like we're going to worship. And then you'll be left alone by the state. And if you want to worship differently, and in they're already doing this in some, I mean, they're not making worship as a Rome, but they basically, in China, pastors are supposed to send their pastor, they're supposed to print out their messages and send them to the representative for President Xi and have them approved. And they're also supposed to be preaching on things that would promote President Xi and his ideas. And if they preach the gospel, they're in trouble. If they preach God's word, they're in trouble, because they're not following standard procedure. I want you to know that my wife went with me to some funerals and weddings in my hometown church, and we were talking about messages and what was brought. And I grew up in the Free Lutheran Church, which has a lot more freedom than the ELCA does. But the thing is, pastors are sent out what they're supposed to be preaching on. And you preach through this. If you go to any Lutheran church or any Catholic church on any given Sunday, you should hear the same texts being preached on. Now, you may have some that don't listen to that, but that's the rule. And so that the headquarters would send out what Bible texts, New and Old Testament, would be read, what your term and topic should be that Sunday, and then that's what you should be preaching on. Not going to be any different. And the thing is, They want to bring everybody under control so that they in turn can turn that control over to the state. That's the Whore of Babylon. You need to understand it's real. It exists. It's with us today. It's been, just one final note, lest you think that there were Catholics that were persecuted by Hitler. But what about the Catholic Church? Forget if it was Pope Pius X that was Pope during World War II. I can't remember for sure. I should have looked it up. But he gave his blessing to Hitler. They helped the Nazis escape. And if you notice where most Nazis ended up, it was in Catholic countries in South America. The Catholic Church gained tremendous wealth from the Nazis in World War II. And the Vatican has been asked on more than one occasion to open up their archives and let people see if there are any things that were stolen from Jewish people that are in their archives. They haven't done it. St. Peter has more wealth than most nations. And they had a lot of wealth that came out of World War II. Gold, artwork, you name it. They've always had a unity with the world system because their foundation and belief is the same. It's not the Bible. And it all goes back to the Tower of Babel, where you had a man in Nimrod who wanted to create this. A system where people would worship him and he could establish the religion, which was really occultic in nature. And when you got to the bottom of it, worshiping Satan. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand the reality of what's happening in our world. And Lord, help us to see that there are a lot of things that appear as one thing on the surface, but there's really a heart of rebellion against you in the name of religion. Lord, help us to make your word the foundation of our life, and we do not follow any man, we do not follow any religious system, but we worship and follow you. And Lord, help us to honor and glorify your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to 589.
Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
just want to share one last thing with you that I meant to share earlier, and that is, unless you think that these things really didn't happen in our world, there was a young pastor that came out of seminary and began to preach as an evangelist. His name was Billy Graham. If you go back and listen to some of Billy Graham's early sermons that he brought, they were powerful, they were biblical, they were right on the money. In the late 50s or early 60s, he was holding a crusade in California. And for the first time, well, prior to that, someone had asked Billy Graham at the beginning of his ministry, what do you see as the great dangers to the church? He said he sees three great dangers to the church. One was communism. The second was Roman Catholicism. And the third, he called it Mohammedism, which is Islam. He said those are the three great dangers to the church that he saw. In his Catholic crusade, for the first time, Billy Graham had never, ever had liberal pastors and Catholic priests on the platform with him. That crusade he did. At the same time, William Randolph Hearst, who was far from being a Christian, owned the largest publishing conglomeration in the country. He wrote to his papers, Pump Graham, Pump Graham. If you look at the history of Billy Graham's ministry, it never was the same as it was at the beginning, nor after that crusade, where he began to compromise on the platform. After that time, Billy Graham began to send people back into the apostate churches that would come forward at his crusades. He had more and more people involved with the planning of his crusades that you would, even if you would sit down and talk to them, they would say that they believed a different gospel than you believed. I want to tell you, it's a real threat. It's always been a real threat. The whore of Babylon, this religious system that would seek to undermine and destroy true biblical Christianity. And it's always aligned itself with a world system that seeks to exalt it above true biblical Christianity. Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that you be with us now. And Father, go with us this next week. Give us opportunities to share with others the hope we have in Jesus. This we ask in his name, for your sake and glory. Amen.